Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're not only jumping into the midst of a long history here, but we're jumping into the midst of one man's story. His life is chronicled, deliberate choice of words there. His life is chronicled beginning back with his father's life and, of course, the other folks who had gone before them. But this is the son of Asa, who was king. He becomes king, and it's told about him in chapter 17 of 2 Chronicles. And there's a lot of ground that's already been covered, but we're going to jump in chapter 20. And the title of today's message is The Battle Belongs to the Lord. Chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Munites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar," that is in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder. And they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Beraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Beraka to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. The fear of the Lord came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
7 points that all have to do with the fact that the battle belongs to the Lord. The first point is this. Jehoshaphat and the people in his kingdom recognized the problem. They were not in denial. This country of ours is not the new Israel. We are not God's unique covenant people that since we founded our country back with a revolution in the 1770s and then constitutional government set up in 1780s. Ever since then, this has just been the promised land. This is God's place. This is the apple of his eye. No, we are a very special country with a unique history. But let me tell you something. Countries come and go. My ancestors were here before the war against Great Britain. And they fought on the side of the revolutionaries, and they won. My ancestors were here when this country was torn asunder, and they fought on the side of the Confederacy, and they lost. This country is currently in a much worse crisis than most people are willing to face. And I don't know what else God may do to try and get the attention of the people. But I'll tell you this, most people that I see, whether it's on television or in McDonald's, when the people are all sitting around or on Facebook, whatever, people, I mean, they might as well be having their hands over their eyes and going la, 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 so they can't hear anything either. Tons of people are in denial. There really are crises. There really are problems. There really are dilemmas. There really are huge enemies that come against you. And in that situation, the first thing you need to do is recognize you've got a problem. Okay? They recognized the problem. They were not in denial. That's point number one. Point number two, they sought the Lord and His help. Take a look back in chapter 16, verse 12. Jehoshaphat's father, at the end of his life, became extremely ill. Verse 12 of chapter 16, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Now contrast that with verse 12 of chapter 20. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. These folks are seeking the Lord and His help. Jehoshaphat called for a time of fasting and prayer, for a solemn assembly with people to come together and seek the Lord, and they did that. What a refreshing thing to have that kind of leadership. Leaders who declare dependence on God instead of saying, hey, trust me, I can fix this. Do you understand that if this country is led by people of any party whatsoever who lead the people of this land in thinking, hey, we got it, no problem, we got it, okay, we're cool, we're fine. If that's the attitude, I guarantee you what the next thing is. Pride goes before a fall. God says so. He keeps His promises, and He says, I will put the proud down. There's just not a lot of humility out there, because that's not the American way. American pride, that is what makes us strong. No, that is what's going to be our undoing. When our founders declared their independence from Great Britain, in that very same document, even people who didn't know the Lord declared their dependence on the God who created us. Please understand that. It wasn't just a declaration of independence. It was a declaration of independence from Great Britain. It was a declaration of dependence on God. Read the document. They declared their dependence on God. If we are depending on ourselves, and not on Him, we're doomed. We're absolutely, positively doomed. And currently, that seems to be the climate. Maybe God in His mercy will send along some catastrophe that will bring us to our knees before we're totally destroyed. Because we need to be on our knees. We need to be seeking God. These folks sought the Lord and His help, beginning with their leaders calling the people to fast and pray. It wasn't the people calling the leaders to fast and pray. It was the leadership. God blessed these people with leaders who said exactly what Jehoshaphat says here. We don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you. Man, now that's when things start to happen like you want. Everyone, this is point three, everyone, including little children, gathered to humbly seek the Lord. How many of us need to be involved in seeking the Lord? Well, I certainly hope the leaders are doing that. Well, I certainly hope that the grown-ups need to get serious about that. Even the little children, even the little ones, the word for little ones there is a babe in arms. I went to see my newest grandchild at the hospital yesterday afternoon on the way home from Chicago. Tiny little guy. For this meeting, he would have been there. Say, well, it's not really his responsibility to get there. No, it's his parents' responsibility to make sure that he starts his life observing people who are seeking God. Amen. That's the way it needs to be. Parents, don't think, well, we'll do that later. We'll teach them later. I had a woman who used to attend, she wasn't a member, but she and her family used to attend our church in Atlanta. And she told me, I wish that I knew ahead of time when you were going to talk about things like the devil or demons. I don't want my child exposed to that kind of thing. She wanted to keep him from that. I don't know if it was a deliberate overdose that killed him or if it was an accidental overdose that killed him. But let me tell you something. You try and protect your children from the truth, you are setting them up to be slaves to the lie. You teach your children what God says. God's word is what our kids need. So everyone, including little children, gathered humbly to seek the Lord. Fourth point, then the Spirit of the Lord came. They are there, they're seeking the Lord, they're crying out, they're declaring their dependence on Him. Everybody's together saying, God, You're our only hope. And when God's people are in that position of humility and seeking Him, saying, we don't have any other hope. That's what we sang just a moment ago. All our hope is in You. All the glory to You, God. That's what we sang. And that's why we sing. It's true. God's our only hope. We don't have a plan B. There's not some parachute. Well, you know, if God doesn't come through, we've got some other things we can do. No, if God doesn't come through, we're done. And that's a good place to be. Because all that means is you're awake. You're aware. You know the truth. The fact of the matter is every atheist on the planet is utterly dependent on God for their next breath. Amen. To realize your only hope is the Lord is to simply be sane. Just to recognize the truth. It is His word that holds the universe together. And anybody who thinks we can do this without Him is a fool. Then the Spirit of the Lord came. Look at it. Verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazael as he stood in the assembly. Verse 15, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. They had spoken to the Lord and said, Lord, You're our only hope. Now this is what the Lord said to them. Point number 5. God told them what to do and what not to do. Did you know if you study God's word, you will find out what to do?
I just don't know what to do. I'm just kind of in a malaise. I just can't seem to get any direction. I just don't know what to do.
Well, are you doing what God says?
I don't know what God wants me to do.
Well, go to the end of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. He says, rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you. Are you doing that?
Rejoice all. Well, I haven't really felt like rejoicing lately.
It doesn't say anywhere in there, feel like rejoicing. That's nowhere in the Bible. It's not in the Old Testament. It's not in the New Testament. It's not even in the Apocrypha. It says rejoice. Rejoice. Express the truth about who God is and who we are and what He's done. That's what Jehoshaphat did in his prayer. He praised the Lord. He says, God, You're the one who brought us into this land, and the reason these people who are coming against us are alive is because You told us not to attack their ancestors. This is how we're paying. Lord, please, You're our only hope. So the Lord responds by telling His people what to do and what not to do. God is still doing that today. He is still doing that today. You want to know what God wants you to do? Get in the Word. Say, well, it's not answering my questions. Well, maybe you're asking the wrong questions. Do what it says. Don't say, well, you know, I was looking for an answer to this. Are you doing this? Well, no, not really. Well, then do this, and maybe He'll tell you about this. Is that clear? God will tell you, do this and don't do this. Listen to what God says not to do. Verse 15. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. God doesn't say, it's not really that big an army. It is a big army. It's a vast army. It's a huge enemy. You've got a big problem, but don't worry about it. Well, how can I not worry about it? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. It's not your battle to fight. I'm going to take care of you, God says. Therefore, your job is to trust in Me. Believe that God has got it under control. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Well, but I sometimes, even when I'm trying to trust in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord, sometimes I feel afraid. That's okay. God doesn't say don't feel afraid. Just like he doesn't say don't feel like rejoicing, he doesn't say don't feel afraid. He says don't be afraid. I feel fear. I am not afraid. I feel the presence of a spirit of fear. I recognize circumstances that are very intimidating and cause me to call on the Lord for deliverance. But I am not afraid. I will do what I need to do, not let fear control me. To be afraid means you give in to the fear, you let the fear be in control. To feel fear means that you're awake, okay? Somebody points a gun at you, if you don't feel fear, it's probably because you're stupid, okay? Because even, you know, oh, well, but I don't think they're hostile. If they're not hostile, they're still being irresponsible pointing a loaded gun at you. So, do not be afraid. You can feel fear, but don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. Don't give in to fear. Don't give in to discouragement. That's what he's saying. Don't do that. Do this. Tomorrow, march down against them. What? You just said the battle is the Lord's. Why do we have to march? Because God says so. You on his side? I was hoping he'd be on our side. That's not what you want. You want to be on his side. The battle belongs to the Lord. He says march. Okay, we're going. But then they do something absolutely wild. They put the musicians out front. Okay? How do our musicians feel about that? Okay? Here comes the army led by the musicians. Why? Because the battle is the Lord's. And our job is to worship and praise him. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just worship him. Let me tell you something. God told them what to do and what not to do, and they responded, this is point six, with joyful worship and courageous obedience. That's what it looked like. They put the musicians at the front, and they walked where God told them to walk, doing what God told them to do, and that was praising the Lord. You and I ought to be praising the Lord. Everywhere we go, whatever's going on, we're just praising the Lord. Why are you praising the Lord? Because he's worthy of praise. Yeah, but you're going through this tough time. Yeah, but God is good all the time. We're going to praise him. No matter what happens, we're going to praise the Lord. And the final point, point number seven, is that the Lord gave an overwhelming victory that left them better off than they were before the attack. Here they are going about their business. Suddenly a vast army comes against them. Seems like disaster. Actually, God is bringing the store to them. Okay? And it's all going to be free. They obeyed God. All the enemies got wiped out by the hand of God, killing each other off. It was like a political convention. They're killing each other. They're laying each other low. And not one of them survived. All the enemies got destroyed. And it took them 3 days. It says it was more than they could carry off. I mean, they were overwhelmed with treasure. They were richer than they were before the attack. Did you know that God is able to take your problems and turn them into blessings? God is able to take stuff that seems like a disaster and make it something good. I've had friends who've said cancer's the best thing that happened to me. It absolutely clarified my values in a way that nothing else ever had. It taught me who really cares about me. It showed me how to prioritize my time. It made it real easy to quit certain habits that I'd struggled with for a long time. It drew me closer to God than I've ever been in my life. And it made heaven sweeter than ever before. God is able to take your problems and turn them into blessings. That's what he did here. He gave them an overwhelming victory that left them better off than they were before the attack. And it wasn't just the stuff. It wasn't just the material things. It was a new, joyful walk with God, and it was peace on every side. What could be better than that?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.